that's why I'm here. So we do remember him in our prayers and his family. He's okay, and there's nothing to be concerned about, but there's something he needs to support a family member or loved one in a difficult time. So there we are. Let's just bow our heads. Merciful Father, teach us to be completely dependent on you, not just for our physical needs, our food, things to eat, but also our spiritual needs, our spiritual food, the bread of heaven. Father, thank you for your miracles, and give us faith to believe. Amen. Well, in some ways, this is another classic BCP lectionary reading, which does exactly what it says on the tin, and I principally refer to the gospel. And in a way, it doesn't really need a sermon or a homily, you know, to muddy the waters. It's quite self-revealing. But yet, you know, and I have to say that, otherwise I'd just instead carry on and we can do the offertory and the intercessions. But there is a couple of things I thought I could share with you from one thing to think about from what is a bit more of a tricky passage, one from Galatians, the epistle, and then one from the gospel. What's interesting with the epistle is that we've been learning about the book of Galatians in our main services in the past, well, since Christmas, since the new year. And we've had quite a few of our clergy, including myself and others, Jill and Ben, and our preaching team, talking about Galatians. And we've learned quite a lot about Galatians. One of the things that was really surprising was the Galatians were Celtic. They were a group of Celts that settled in that region after fighting for Alexander the Great. And the previous generations had been traded by Norse slave traders and brought down the Danube, and they were settled, and they were given this land as a gratitude for fighting. They were known as, for they've been great horsemen or and women, and quite lively. And I think when the protector of, or the governor of the region, 25 BC, so just before the time of Christ, he referred to the Galatians being very similar to the Britons. So it was interesting is that, you know, the Celts were there right at the beginning of the gospel. As Galatians, they were stubborn and foolish. They were called, Paul called them foolish, but they were a lively group of people, and it's quite interesting to read about. But we've been learning about the Galatians in the letter, and the other thing about the wonderful thing about Galatians is this postmodern. It's, you know, St. Paul taking an idea which is really common to modern thinking of being everyone being of equal, and, you know, the arguments of diversity are rooted in the book of Galatians. You know, no, there's no one who is, we are all equal in Christ. You know, it's like the message of the levelers, the message of people have an equality in Christ, male, Jew, Greek, slave, free, you know, male and female. It's a message that we still haven't quite got as a human race, but the distinctions that we like to do, I used to see in the classroom those sort of unacceptable distinctions of the haves and the have-nots, and the clever and the stupid, and blah, 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 all those things, those who can and those who can't, as Erickson's child psychologist said, we still like to make those distinctions. But in Christ, we are all equal. And I think that's a wonderful message from the book of Galatians. And, you know, God loves us all. He loves us all for who we are, not for what we do. But I think there's a message that the church hasn't quite got from Galatians, which kind of amuses me. You know, we've read the book, we've done what it says, but we still miss the message. And that's this, is that Galatian, Paul is very clear that we're not under law anymore. We're under grace, we're under love, we're free. And that's his point today. We're not yoke under the burden of slavery, shackled to sin. We are free, we're children of the promise. And we forget that. You know, St. Paul makes this point throughout this letter. And I think we're missing it, or we're choosing to ignore it. You know, you were once under law and so judged by law. But now, children born of the promise of Christ, you're born free. Not under the slavery of sin or the slavery of law, under the banner of Christ. Yes, St. Paul says, Jesus, He hasn't taken away any of the law, but he's fulfilled the law. He's fulfilled it, the Old Testament law. The law stands, the Ten Commandments. We say this at the beginning of our liturgy this morning, the summary of the law, the two principal commandments. But Paul is taking it and says, you're born of a woman of promise. You know, it's the language of the Spirit. You know, perhaps the word slave, and I'm glad that the reading in the BCP uses someone under bondage or under debt. In other translations, you use the word slave, and I think that's a disappointment because it has so many difficult connotations. But the point is that Paul's making is that you're under a yoke, a burden, when you're tied by law. You're owned by another. You're not free. You're owned by something else. That could be a habit, could be anxiety, could be an affliction. Paul wants you to be free in Christ. You're only under sin, you're led by shackles. You're not free to go where you wish. Your sin leads and directs you. Well, you see that out with people all the time. So you're born as children of promise. That's his point, born of the Spirit. So we as a church need to remind ourselves of that wonderful promise that Paul teaches to the Galatians. You are children of promise. But we forget the lessons. You know, we tangle ourselves up and tie ourselves up with rules again. You know, in Lent, you know, we listen to the book of Galatians, this wonderful truth about being free, and then we go off and, you know, make rules about what we can do and we can't do. You know, yeah, it's good to perhaps give up chocolate or alcohol or whatever it is you're doing, but it's still a rule. You know, we're not under rules. Lent, Jesus didn't tell us to do Lent. And we have this idea that the more we pray, the more God is likely to hear us. That's not the child of promise. Or the more, if we sing this way, then God will do this for us and we get what we want. You know, I'm not saying those things are bad. It's right to pray, but go into your room. God knows what's in your heart and pray silently. And this is how you pray. Our Father in heaven, blah, blah, and so on. We know. So the Lent and hope is to seek what God has prepared for you, what God has prepared. You're not looking for what you want in God. You're looking to what God wants to give you. It's a subtle difference. God has a plan for your lives. Your children of promise. He wants to give to you. It might not be the same as what you want or what you think you want, but he wants to give to you. And don't, you know, rest in your grace. Rest in the grace and the love of Christ. Don't wrestle with your faith. You know, I've done that for years, wrestling with faith. You know, what am I doing? You know, am I good? Am I, you know, just no grace? You know, that is a good state to be in, a good place to be. Because after all, you are a human being, not a human doing. Too much emphasis on who we are. What do you do? You know, what do you do? I was, you know, you go to a party and people say, what do you do? And they're asking you so they can judge you, you know. What if you don't do anything? What if you're unemployed or you're you know, you're invalid, as they used to call it? What do you say then? You're judged, you know. We are human beings in God. Let everyone else do the doing. It doesn't matter. And it's Mother's Day, isn't it? We thank God for our earthly mothers. I was talking about my mother this morning to Robert and Judy. But we thank God for them. But let's not forget, we're also thinking about the motherhood of the church. That's the real Mother's Day. And that's where you think about where you were baptized and the date that you became a Christian. Very important. The motherhood of the church. And the mother of the church is nurturing us in our faith. The mother of the church is about giving us, you know, accepting us, perhaps creating opportunities for us, allowing God to use us and grow us. In the same way your mothers, a good mother would do, nurturing their children, looking after them, fighting for them, feeding them, keeping them warm, clothing them, and so on. That's the role of the church. If we didn't have Mother's Day, we wouldn't have bank holidays, we wouldn't have holy days, because they had to give people time off to go back to their hometowns to celebrate their baptism. I don't know if you've ever seen the P.G. Woodhouse when he has a house party and there's no servants there because they've all gone home, and I think Lord Blandford nearly burns the kitchens down because he can't boil an egg, you know. And that's the kind of the script. But it's a good story, but it illustrates the point. I'm going to finish with the gospel story. I'm going to use a reference by the late preacher, Reverend John Irvine, who was the vicar of St. Barnabas. And he said, if you're going to be a Christian, you've got to suspend disbelief. The feeding of 5,000 men is a very interesting case in point. You know, you've got to accept that these miracles happen. It's incredulous as it sounds, you know, feeding 5,000, and there's men, so there would have been women and children, so it's probably more than 5,000 people. You know, it's one of Jesus' incredible miracles, as are some of the stories of the Old Testament. Moses, Noah, Jonah, Samson, David, and so on. All these stories. You've got to decide what you believe in. You know, it doesn't, as he used to say, you know, all the animals of the world, swimming, hopping, flying, wiggling, squiggling, come to a big wooden boat and float on the sea for 40 days. You know, what do you believe? You know, what they call it, the Ribena solution, you know, the Ribena situation, where it wasn't water turned into wine, it was grape juice at the bottom of the wineskins. And, you know, you can explain it away or use the metaphorical. But John Irvine says, you've got, in the end, you've got to decide what you believe. You know, it's like a block of cheese. If you get to the thin end of it, you throw out the baby with the bathwater. Was Jesus born of a virgin? Miraculous virgin conceived through the Holy Spirit. So you've got to keep your faith. You've got to work out what your faith is. And the feeding of 5,000 is an interesting one, because even the disciples, like, it takes a year's salary in some translations to feed all these people. That's a lot of food. That's a lot of food. That's a visit to a food, you know, a sort of food distribution warehouse on a housing and trading estate in Staines. You know, that's a lot of food to pack in. It's a big food bank. But he does it like that. 5 loaves, 2 fishes. You see, 5,000 people plus. So you've got to decide what you believe in. And John Irvine says a very interesting point. He says, if you redact these stories and explain them away, quasi-science, you know, or ignore them, you redact the possibility of God doing the same in your life. You see, if you redact the amazing truths of the miracles, then how can you expect God to act the same miracles in your life? Or in the same miracles in your church, or in your families, or in your communities, or in the world? Very important point. So when you're confronted, as we are today, the insurmountable problems of this world, you know, starvation, war, attrition, you know, suffering, the medical needs of children in Gaza, you know, political dysfunction, and so on, all those things. When you have faith in Christ, these things can be easily repaired and solved. And if we have enough faith to believe, you know, and we believe it's God's will to do so, your will be done, then God, we just say the word and it shall be. It's a matter of faith. Just say the word, because I know what's already in your heart. You do not need to ask. Your will be done. Keep your prayers simple this Lent. Be free. Remind yourselves, your children born of the promise. Be free. Accept grace. Accept the love of Christ. And enjoy the promise. Enjoy the promise. You know, you have such a gift. Such gifts. You know, accept them, embrace them, love them. Use them in the world. Live as free men and women, as God made you and created you to be. Amen.